Don't tell anyone I'm free. Don't tell anyone I'm
hostile and drunk times and whatnot, OpenBSD may be your family's own line of defense.
Max, Rance, pick up the phone. This freaking special assignment I'm on is what the crap. I'm in a freaking Mexican jail. Send freaking money now, dude. It is like super scary down here. I mean, sure, I slept with roaches before, but man, this really sucks. So, crap, call my cell as soon as you can. I'll listen, you know. I think it's on the Federalia's desk. So call and I'll start screaming and send me bail money, dude, quick.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Welcome to Radio Freak America 16. I am Rax, and as you heard, dual special assignment. Well, it kind of, so good. Actually, we're just shitting you. Duel's on the phone right now. Say hi, Duel.
Hi, Duel. Actually, I'm not in a Mexican jail, but I am on an assignment. I can't say where. Kind of a secret location. But I'm really glad. First, I got to tell you, Rax, thank you for doing the show last week. I actually got to check it out. You know, I'm doing some phenomenal things, really long hours. I did get to check out the show, and it was great. It was like, it was a week's worth of information compressed, you know? It's like I jacked in and got a week's worth of hacker info in an hour. It was awesome. And thanks again for hosting this show. I'm really lucky. I actually kind of got off early on this, quote, assignment I'm on, and I got an opportunity to call in. So thanks again for hosting this show.
Hey, cool, man. Yeah, it is hard doing it. You did, I forget what episode that was you did by yourself, but yeah, it's hard just to talk to the stinking microphone by yourself.
Yeah,
so.
And I only did it for a half hour. I know it was nice, you know, and it was fun, but filling an hour is not easy. Not easy at all.
Hey, a couple of things I want to talk about today. One is virtual credit cards. The non-technical people out there tend to be, you know, like, oh, if I put my credit card number, it's going to be stored in some database somewhere. Well, I mean, they pretty much got that stuff worked out. You know, you're probably likely to get your credit card number ripped off by that minimum wage waiter or waitress, you know, that you were being insulting to. You know, they're probably going to be more likely to rip you off than you get a rip. But it's that whole perception thing. But a couple of things, I noticed that I just got a new Citi card. I also see it with Discover Card. Basically, what it is, you download a little piece of software. When you want to go buy something online, you click the button, bring up their little software. It generates a random but valid credit card number for you, and then it makes the expiration date such that it can only be used for one time. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it is awesome. But wait a minute, the software that generates that number is on your box. It's on your machine.
Yeah, it's on your box, and it talks to the credit card company through your net connection.
And it does this for every and any transaction for how long? Infinite?
Well, no. You call it up when you want to. If you want to type in regular credit card number, you go ahead.
Now I see. I'm a firm believer in physical access owns all. So I'm thinking if this software is on your box, I mean, you can decompile a crack or somebody else can get that same program, start generating your own. They have an infinite number of time credit card uses.
Yeah, but it's got to go to the back to the credit card company to get some kind of seed number or some kind of something. So it's not completely all done in a box. You couldn't do it on a standalone box. Be net connected. You have to be logged in with an SSL connection. you know, to their back to the credit card company and all that. So anything that you're transmitting to them is SSL encrypted.
I tell you what, now that I think more about it, it sounds actually like a really good idea. It sounds like a great idea, because then you don't have to worry. Now, again, physical access on thought, like you said, if you give your card to some waiter, you know, he's going to walk off it. He's owned it. He's got it. And you're using your card on the net. If somebody does, you know, if somebody sends that traffic, but if somebody, God forbid, a company, you know, insider, gets that information, they can use it as much as they want until they catch it, which, what, is the next day or, you know, that night earliest, the next day latest probably. So you use this and you get one transaction, one card number, that's it. That is actually a really good idea.
And you're
used it yet?
No, not yet. So your credit card number is never being transmitted. You know, it shows up, it comes back on your statement and everything else, but like I said, I saw it on the Citi card, and then I went to Discover and saw it on my Discover card too, that they have us. All the major companies will probably have it here shortly.
That is cool. Is there any fee for this?
No. Actually, I'm really happy with what CitiCard is doing and all that other stuff. I mean, they've got a good website. You can do your bill paying there. You can do the whole thing. You can get your statements electronically if you don't want to get paper and the whole thing. So it's looking pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let me know when you check that out.
Yeah, we'll see. The other thing that was kind of interesting, we talked about this a little bit before. You know, I went to see Attack of the Clones on that DVD, on the digital projection, the DVD screen, right? And, well, this past weekend, I went to check out Star Wars again. I knew I was going to see it again anyway, but I saw it in a regular theater. Dude, the difference you would not believe.
Kidding me.
Oh, my God. You know how they, first of all, how they start, you know, the text goes off, it goes off into that vanishing point?
Yeah.
Well, when the text is coming up on the screen, first of all, it's jittering. You see, it's just moving just barely perceptibly back and forth a little bit at free frame. But on top of that, you know, as the text is getting smaller, you can't read it. Well, on this digital projection that we went to, almost the entire thing was still legible. There's this one scene near the start of the show where, you know, that chrome spacecraft of Princess Queen / Senator Amidala, whatever, you know, Goddess Amidala.
Right.
Anyway, so it's flying in, and is, you know, all clouding everything else. So on the digital screen, when you see that, it's all really nice and sharp and reflective. On the regular screen, man, it was so muddy, you couldn't see anything. You couldn't see any reflection. Just like this gray blob going through the sky. And then the scenes, you know, the scenes that were kind of darkly lit or whatever, even like Yoda's fight scene, where it was darkly lit, it was muddied. Oh, my God, man. I never want to see another regular movie. It's just so bad knowing the difference. It's like watching a VHS tape and watching a DVD.
Now, how far away is this theater from your house?
25, 30 miles.
Worth the drive?
Definitely worth the drive. The only thing is there's not that many movies shot that way, you know?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Now, see, I've got a buddy. He's a big-time audiophile. And, you know, I tell him I listen to MP3s, and he shudders, you know? I don't think he's down. I think, like, the hardcore dudes are, like, using tubes and stuff, right? I don't think he's that far gone. But he just, you know, if it's not, you know, full-on CD digital quality sound, he won't touch it. And to me, MP3s are great, you know? It's plenty good for me. And he tells me. And this is the same thing as you're telling me right now, is that if he set me down with a decent piece of equipment and, you know, some Sennheiser headphones or something, and a good quality CD, and then listen to the same song in MP3, I would hear the difference.
Well, MP3 is a lossy compression. Well, this is going to really date me, but anyway, back in the day, when I was in high school, we didn't have PCs to play with, and that, so all the tech guys would kind of, like, hang out and talk about, like, audio specs and total harmonic distortion and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big thing, right? I mean, you could get, like, this $3,000 turntable, 001 total harmonic distortion, all this crap. Well, Consumer Reports or somebody did this big report saying the human ear can't distinguish between 0.01 total harmonic distortion and 1% total harmonic distortion. So the high-end audio market just dropped away because people's hearing isn't that acute. But on that being said, I'll have you know, I started playing with MP3s, which was probably about 90, early 97. One song I heard, Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd,
yeah.
You know, the part where it goes just a little pinprick and there's like a little ding, you know, like a triangle. It wasn't as bright. It wasn't as bright as listening to it on a CD. So if someone's really into it, you know, I could they would say that.
Yeah, I'd like to try that out, actually. I might go check that out, and I would definitely like to check out a digital movie. If it's what you say it is, maybe it would make Star Wars a little more enjoyable, because I think that movie sucked bad.
Yeah.
Hey, man, can I tell you about one of my adventures?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you sure? Right before I left, I went on a little freak adventure. hopped on my red line, I was peddling my sled around, zipping around town, checking out dumpsters, reading financials, little companies, just tossing out the garbage. And I came to a brand new big telco box, really nice one. A private box, it wasn't a big Arbok can. And, held closed with by a bolt, right? And I thought, oh, man, I don't have Leatherman, I don't have anything to open it. I said, well, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. And sure as shit, I just went up and turned it with fingers and opened up the box. And you know what happened? A big freaking beat-up, dirty yellow, ghetto, full-size phone falls out of the box. Like, almost lands on my feet. A full-size phone. I was like, what's going on? So, I opened this box, and a full-size phone falls out. Right, it's covered with stickers, got all the stuff on it. I said, well, wait a minute, this is pretty cool. So I got on my beige box, put in my old alligator clips into this big-ass, big business phone, and I got a telephone, man. I went through the line, I got a dial on this old phone, freaking took it home, got a free freaking full-size phone. A nice one, too. It's actually not too bad. They don't put pictures on the site in the photo gallery. So, folks, go out, adventure, man. Have some fun. I mean, stuff like that happened. I thought it was freaking weird. But I thought it was totally weird.
You said there were stickers and everything all over it?
Yeah. You know, where is it? Oh, where's the big yellow beat-up ghetto phone? Oh, here it is.
Do you think there was some other phone freak that just left it in there?
No, I think this was a business's phone, and there's, like I said, there are stickers on it. But these stickers, I'm gonna customer service 800 number authorization, American Express numbers. Oh, this is a good one right here. Like a Novus. Are Novus cards still around? Well, anyways, there's like a Novus 24-hour authorization number with the merchant number. So I don't know what I could do with that.
Huh.
Or turn it on my own, and there's no one to monitor the alarm company with their account number, so maybe I can turn on and off their alarms. This is so funny. What kind of, it's an ITT phone. So yeah, you know how old it is, being ITT, they're not around anymore.
Dude, I swear, man, that you found another freak's equipment. He probably just stashed it in there because the man was coming.
Dude, well this is like, no way, I just fully, no freaking way. Hey, freaking a lot.
What?
All right, because I don't want to say the other F word. Oh, there's like a secret compartment on this phone. I'm serious. I just found it. It's this little, the little slidey things where the numbers go on.
Yeah.
I just pulled it out. Look at this. Full of numbers. New pager, health club. Look at all these phone numbers. Pretty good ones. Bunch of people's names. Cell numbers. Awesome. Yeah, see? Listeners, dude, go have an adventure. Get out, man. Look at the stuff you can find. I pulled a secret compartment on the beat-up, big, yellow, full-size ghetto phone.
You got to take some pictures and pop that up on the site.
I should, and all these people's numbers, too. All right, thank you. I had to get that out. Otherwise, I've been this, like I said, top secret. Can't talk about it. Where I am, nothing. Long hours, though. Real long hours. Not enough time to hack or freak, but I know when I get back, I'm gonna definitely make up for lost time.
Yeah. Hey, here's something too. Just speaking about the freaking and doing the movie thing and that. So I'm with my buddy, and he goes to the ATM there, and this little stand-up ATM. It's not a bank ATM, so it's probably owned by the movie theater and that. But so he pops his card in there, punches his PIN number in. And then, lo and behold, what sounds do you think it started making?
No way. It did? You could hear them?
It modemed out. Well, I did a little bit of searching on the net, and you can just go search for, like, ATM, cash, and modem. And there's these companies that sell you ATMs with, like, a 2400 baud modem built into it.
Yeah, okay, so you could hear the sound.
Yeah, you could hear it doing the negotiation and everything.
Did you have access to the jack by any chance?
Nah, there was too many people there. You could see the, looked like a Cat 5 cable. It's probably all they need is Cat 3, but you could see that coming into the back of the phone. Back of the ATMs. But yeah, I thought that was too funny.
That is very funny. You know the number of the movie theater? Like, maybe it has a similar number, Maybe you could, like, do a little war dialing, and I don't know if you could dial into these things. That'd be really cool if you could. Or actually, that probably might not be cool because it might be highly illegal and all that kind of thing.
Yes, but theoretically, you could do a little bit of fingerprinting that way and find stuff. But
yeah. Just make sure you're anonymous, folks.
Absolutely.
Up at the ATMs and causing a havoc.
Yeah, really. You start messing around with stuff like that, they take it really seriously.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Really seriously.
Well, hey, the other thing that's kind of important this week too, A long-awaited piece of software has been released.
What's that?
It's Mozilla! I just had to do that.
Let me guess, Mozilla 1.0.
Mozilla 1.0 is out. It's looking really good. And the funny thing is, I don't know what I put on my system this week. My one box here is an MP system, and everything was working fine. I keep adding more and more stuff to it. But something started screwing up. So on my IE, I started using Mozilla instead, and it's working really nice. It's working really nice.
Tell me how fast it is, first of all.
Well, other than the fact that with IE, where I'm getting this problem where, I launch a browser window and it just hangs there for a minute before it goes, I'm not sure what's going on there. I didn't notice any difference in speed-wise. To be really honest with you, I didn't notice any difference rendering.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that IE is a fast browser, personally. I think it's a good product, and I think it's fast. So if Mozilla is just as fast, because Netscape 6, I use Netscape 6 for like 10 seconds, it sucks so bad. If Mozilla is fast as IE, that's great. Now, I've heard that it is, what's the last one I used, like 9.3 or 9.7 or something like that? I've heard that you can customize the look and feel, because I don't like that new Netscape 6 look.
I didn't even look for that yet. It looks definitely like it.
It is, okay. I figured it would be. I like Conqueror, personally. I'm using it, I'm opening it as we speak. That's my favorite. That's my favorite, but I am going to try 1.0. How can you not? Is there another 1.0 that just came out this week?
Audacity's been out, but there's the 1.1 as well, which is actually a lot nicer.
I thought it just came out.
Well, I don't know. I played with the I played with 1.1 when I was doing the editing for the show last week. I was playing with that on 1.1.
And now what are changes in that?
The waveform looks a lot nicer. You can have it'll scroll as it's recording. A bunch of UI stuff. So that was looking really good. But for tonight, recording the show, I had to go back to 1.0.0. To get it to work, the 1.1 unstable version was just that. It was unstable, didn't work.
Now, all this was brought up. I've actually been writing, on pen and paper, writing a little article about the technical aspects, basically how we've created the show from the beginning, and basically how we've done it for little or no money. Because I've read, there's some great articles about online radio. You can read some good stuff at Ram Radio. Screamer Chaotix wrote some good articles. But there's nothing that really, gives a how-to, a little technical, what kind of software to look for, what kind of settings to use, Of course, I'm sure all you hackers out there can figure it out on your own. You just play with it enough and you'll figure it out, And that's what we did. But we've done it basically with free software, with hardware that's inexpensive.
Especially when it was at 90 megahertz Pentium.
Yeah, it was a 133, by the way.
Oh, 133.
If we get a chance, I'd like to talk about all the hardware. But I wrote it on pen and paper, so I'm hoping to type that up. Maybe I'll put that on the site. I think it's a nice little read. Basically, I wrote in the first person like a story about how we created the radio show and the technology behind it. Oh, man, I'm tired, dude.
Oh, stop whining.
Yes, Rex.
Yeah. Back on the browser stuff and that too, there's a cool software I got. Everyone else out there might want to get it on Windows. It's called Pop-Upper, and it's from Panicware.com.
Panicware.com.
I played with, and I used to use the stuff from Analog X, which was pretty cool. But what it did is you'd have to wait till a pop-up came up, click on the program for the icon, and it would show you all your browser windows that were open, and whatever the title of that browser window, you'd add it to the list.
Right.
It would close at that time, and then from there on, but you would have to get it. This one, kind of like the bug commercial, kills annoying pop-ups before they're even hatched. It does basically, anytime you have there's a JavaScript thing that goes out to run a window, it intercepts it, and it doesn't let it do it. So it gives, you got different sounds, but I got this ricocheting bullet sound where it shoots it down. If you want to have open another window, you just hold down the control key while you're clicking, and the other window can open up. So it's great. It's a free program. It's free. Now they've got they've got two other versions of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at two others that are $40 and $30.
Yeah, well the one that's like $40, I'll accept certain pop-ups from this website and some other things and that, but I think it's a great little thing because those are really annoying, You get in pop-up hell, one site pops first site and just,
Yeah.
You have to crash your system to get out of it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And they do, they do the full window kind of thing and it's annoying. That and spam, and it's never going to stop either. Let's see. I'm looking. Oh, download. Never mind.
Yeah, so that's we can put that up as a file of the week because I've actually used it and it actually works well.
How big is it?
It's a rather personal question. Oh, the program. I don't know. Not very.
You know what? It doesn't matter because guess what, listeners? I've upgraded our hosting and we've got a lot of space now. We've got a big, fat space on the internet, so we can put up a lot of stuff now. We'll be able to put up the shows for a long time. Definitely. Wait a minute. Speaking of file of the week, Condor is like dropped off the face of the earth, man.
Oh man, he wasn't even at the 2600 meeting. In fact, there was it was just me and Memes there last week. We had like 12 people last in our local city here. It was just me and Memes last week, so we just hung out and shot the shit for a while.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is like a full-on elite meeting. First of all, even though it was small, that's two good people at a meeting. I'm sorry I missed it. Of course I couldn't. But that doesn't surprise me because a lot of people, people have been coming. The meetings have been, great turnout for months now. So one slow meeting, I don't think is anything to worry about. But Condor dropped the face of the earth. I really think, he told me. I don't know if he talked about this on the show, but he was getting some pressure at school. Something happened about computers, and they think, of course he wears, got root shirts, and he works in he's in the Cisco class, and. I think he was getting some pressure at school from the man, and he might be getting additional pressure from his parents. So, poor guy, he might be going through some stuff. We don't know about it.
Well, I tried calling like last Sunday for last week's show. Left a message, never heard back. Tried emailing him, and all that. But he was getting a job. But I mean, hey, okay, maybe it's his like first quote unquote real job or something. But.
Right.
Hey, you and I both have jobs, and we're still doing this shit, so...
Yeah, but, here's the thing. I think, you read about the stuff that happens to young folk in 2600, at their schools, basically being persecuted for no reason, unjustly. I can't imagine that kind of pressure, because getting kicked out of school, think of what parents would do. You turn into some, delinquent hacker punk, what they think. They think hacker is a totally evil term. Who knows what kind of pressure this dude might be in right now. So, Condor, if you're listening, our best to you. And if you, for reasons bigger than you and us, can't stay in the scene as much as you'd like, hey.
Call, drop a note, something, man. Let us know you're still alive.
Yeah, I totally agree. You should. You should be letting us know. But Free Freak America started with him, and it'll end with him, even if he's not here, so.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Well, I've been playing a little bit around here too with my cable connection. I've got the business cables now rather than just the home ones. So I think I talked about it a little bit. And they came down. They put in a different cable modem. It's just a Toshiba cable modem, but they put in a different cable modem. This little net screen, little teeny tiny box router. Finally, a little bit of time the other day, and I started playing with it. And I was always wondering, I wonder if I can still just use my Linksys, little router with my access point built in. I wonder if I can still use it. Well, plug it in, and sure enough, it still works. Not only a couple interesting things here. First of all, it was supposedly like T1 service, right, that I was having. So I think in the router, which I haven't been able to get into yet because they've got a weird interface for the console port, but I think they had it capped at 1.54 megabit. Through their net screen router because I was going to like two-wire.com for their bandwidth meter. And I was getting about 1.4, 1.6, maybe peak at 1.9. Now it's coming in it's all over the board now, but it's nothing below 2,000 kilobits per second. It's been up almost 7,000 kilobits per second.
Whoa. Why and how did you get all this bandwidth now?
Well, I just bypassed the net screen router they gave me.
Okay. Now, you're not breaking any, user agreements or anything like that?
Acceptable use policy. Well, I read through it at the start, when I first got it. I could read through it again, but this is for research and educational purposes anyway. Yeah, I don't think so, because basically here's what the thing was doing. The net screen was doing NAT, network address translation. My Linksys was doing network address translation.
Right.
So... it had one live IP address from the cable modem system on the external interface of this net screen, and it had a private IP address on the internal side. So I'd have cable going into the cable modem, Ethernet cable coming out of the cable modem into the external port on the net screen router. Another RJ45 Ethernet cable coming from the internal or trusted side on the NetScreen router going to my Linksys router. And then from there I could have a couple of machines and I'd have my wireless access point.
Doing double NAT, basically.
I was doing double NAT, yeah. Now, and even with the acceptable use policy and all that, because it is his business service, you know, they showed you, basically, you get just still the one external IP address, but you have multiple, you know, they showed like 10 or 16 internal NAT addresses. Well, duh, you know, you can have, I would think it was a 10 network, you know, and I forget what the subnet mask was, but you could put a lot more than that, but. So anyway, I just bypassed this little thing. I just wanted to see if it would work, first of all, and lo and behold, it works. Not only that, it works faster.
That's great. I hope you're not breaking your, you know, user agreement, because you could never get service again. But, so there, it sounds like they're doing hardware, basically cab service hardware. But what I first want to know is, what's the difference between, if you were only supposed to get 1.5, what's the difference between the business and the residential? I'm getting 1.5 now.
Well, not synchronous. It was symmetric. It was five up and down, plus static IP, plus the ability to do VPN.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They don't like Dave. They don't like VPN here. And static IP, we basically have a long lease, infinite lease, I guess. Okay.
Well, see, VPN, theoretically, they could block the port numbers you're using. That obviously you could use other port numbers,
right.
But they don't want you to use VPN on the residential service. You can use it on the customer service.
Yeah.
But IP addresses, where you're at, they have, you have a long lease. Where I'm at, before the home network went away, basically I had the same IP address, because they had infinite leases, I basically had the same IP address about 3 years. So for all intents and purposes, it was static. Now, interestingly, it has a 4-hour lease time, and without getting into the whole mechanics of how DHCP works, before your lease is expired, your host goes ask the DHCP server for an address. And specs of DHCP says asks for the same address and sees if it can get it. And so I suppose the DHCP server could be set to, oh, you can't have that address, it's in use, even though it's not.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story made short, I had a client, had to set them up with VNC, the virtual network computing, you know, the little freebie program developed by AT&T Labs.
Yeah.
That's, there's another one out there, listeners, too. It's called Tight, as in, like, you know, a tight drum or something. Tight VNC actually works quite a bit better. Tight VNC work. Anyway, so I'm downloading. I walked him through, you know, going to his little Linksys box, you know, setting up port forwarding, because, you know, I was coming in on a specific port number, 5800 for VNC, and we had to enable port forwarding on the Linksys box. Reason that is, just for all the listeners here, is, but with one of those little DSL/cable routers, you're doing this network address transfer using private IP addresses. So it's basically acting like a little firewall. If you come in at port 5800 on live IP address, without doing this port forwarding, it never makes it through. What you do with port forwarding, you say, when port 5800 is accessed on the external interface, I want to forward that to this particular IP address of my host inside. So therefore, it's like poking a hole in a firewall, which you need to do for certain services. So we poked a little hole through, and I got in. Okay, that's all well and good. So we did the thing the one day, you know, I had him go to whatismyip.com and get the IP address. So he had it down on my notes. And so I'm back working with them the next day, have them go there, it's the same IP address 24 hours later. When in theory, they're supposed to have a 4-hour IP address lease. So I haven't had a chance to play with that to see actually how long you really do end up keeping that IP address.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm really curious about that.
So that's another little interesting thing. But again, folks, you can stop the show if you're listening to it on the stream, download it from oldschoolfreak.com and play it back again. You know, we try to give out these web addresses and everything else, share the knowledge with you, because that's, you know, part of what the thing with Free K is, free knowledge, keep knowledge free. So we want to share this information with you, share all this other stuff so you can do it yourselves, too.
Anyway. Do it. They can set up virtual servers and get ephemeral ports and set up port forwarding on Apache if they want. You know, you're talking about the links. You're talking about doing all that, you know, the show notes and links to the shows. You know what, dude? That's a lot of freaking work, man.
You know what we could...
I don't know if I can keep... I can barely keep up with the show notes, let alone putting all those links in. I'm serious.
Well, you know what we really need, Duel, is one of the listeners out there to volunteer to, maybe a week or so after the show is done, you know, they download it and they, write a little thing up with all the various links that in there. So if there's anyone out there that's the end of the show that wants to contribute and wants to help your fellow hackers and freakers out there, drop us a line and let us know. We could really use the help for doing that.
Sure. What I want are articles. I want some really good articles. I've got some good emails about some really good info, and I'm hesitant to just put it up on the site, especially without permission, but I've got some really good stuff. Really, I mean, like very useful things. Yeah, write an article. If you listen to the show and you've got any good digs, any good dirt, lay it on us and put it on the site.
Absolutely. Share the knowledge. Well, one other thing about the whole cable modem stuff and everything else.
Yeah.
So I've got assigned to me a static IP address, live static IP address thing, you know. With this, you know, theoretically you could run a server, and I think that's a part of the with the acceptable use policy as well. That's not my plan, but so just for grins, I went into my Linksys and I said, obtain an IP address via DHCP, and it did. Then I went back, and I surfed, and I did everything I wanted to. Then I went back and said, no, don't use a DHCP. Use this IP address, my static IP address. And that worked. So I got the best of both worlds, man. I can be static if I want to, and I can be dynamic and anonymous if I want to.
Very nice.
And then one final note. I guess the thing kind of triggered all this off, and I thought about this years ago. A lot of people, and tell me if you have both cable TV and cable modem, right, Duel?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I thought I had to have that too initially, you know. So when they started laying fiber out here, I had cable TV and I kept it because I figured, well, I need cable TV to get cable modem. Well, it didn't. When they ran it, even though I had cable TV at the time, they ran a separate coax cable in. They put a new little DMARC out on the outside of my house, ran a separate coax cable in for the data. And I didn't think too much about it, but then there was a thing online on Slashdot last week about the fact that, and you even mentioned this one time before, Duel, and it didn't click with me, but basically, when they're sending out the data on that coax cable, they can't help but also send analog cable TV service.
Yeah, it's just your data is just a frequency band.
Right. There, you know, it's broadband. There's multiple frequencies on there. So just for grins, I hooked it up to my TV, and I was getting all the local stations. And it's like, oh, that's kind of pretty cool.
And very nice.
Yeah, but that's not the end of it. I flipped it, you know, flipping around on the TV, it's cable ready, and I said use cable TV tuning. I get all the analog stations.
All of them?
All of them. Sci-fi, Travel Channel, History Channel, everything. All non-scrambled basic cable.
If you get Cartoon Network and Deep Vision, dude, you are a happy man.
I was looking for Sci-Fi Channel and But you know, here's the thing. You know, first of all, I'm not going to watch it for a couple of reasons. First of all, I haven't had cable TV in like 4 years. I don't even have an antenna on my regular TV. I don't want to watch that much TV. I used to be a TV kid and everything else. Watched way too much TV, and I got lots of better things to do with my time. Like I tell you, man, it's so addictive when it's so clear. But anyway, and the second thing is, you know, that's not right. I mean, I'm not doing it for that. I'm not trying to rip them off. You know, it's not about hacking for stealing, which is what we were talking about last week. It's just that it was a clever thing. I think about it myself, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to start watching it, I'm going to have to buckle down and I will pay for the cable TV.
You know what? You are a fine upstate citizen, my friend.
Yeah, I'm a consumer. But I mean, it's just an ethical thing with me, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, me too. I'm more that way with some, you know, I actually pay for the basic channels. I don't actually watch them. You know, I just bundled with my internet. But, excuse me, software, I pay for my software. If I use it, it's free, or I pay for it. You know, because people out there put a lot of hard work into it, and they deserve to be compensated. Same with my music. I buy my CDs. All the MP3s that download and burn are MP3s that bands that the artists give out, that they make available freely online. You don't have to pay for anything if you don't want to, but you definitely don't have to steal it.
Hey, speaking of Windows and everything else, or speaking of software, I should say, here's a little thing too. It's been floating out there for a little bit, but if anyone's installed Windows XP on their machine and you have to reinstall it for whatever reason, you have to go through the whole re-registration process, which is kind of a pain in the butt. So if you go into install your XP the first time, go into the Windows directory, System32, and there's a file called wpa.dbl. wpa.dbl. Copy that file to a floppy disk or something, copy it to someplace else, and then when you reinstall XP, you just basically want to go either, you know, boot up when it starts up, hit the F8 key and go into like the recovery mode so you can copy the file or whatever, because you can't change this file that's in use. You go and copy that file back into that same directory and you save that process of re-registering. Now this won't work. You know, I can't give my copy of that key to Dual and have him use it on his machine because it's doing all that stuff with the processor ID and the MAC address and all these things to make a unique hash. It's 100% legit, and it's a good little backup thing. But if you happen to be on the other side of the fence and start playing with things, there's been a lot of stuff written this past week or so about Service Pack 1 for XP coming out very shortly. And one of the things they're going to do with that is they are going to... There's a known series of corporate XP ID keys that are out there, that are floating around. Allegedly, this XP is going to disallow that. You won't be able to basically make your bootleg copy of XP stop working. So if you go, just looking for this now, I think it's MS Betas, plural, B-A-S, msbetas.net. There's a little article in there about it. There's links off to other sites in that where you can get various other keys in that, but there's a workaround for that as well. You got to do something, edit the registry, and change things around. And then finally, what's that?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. And then finally, now this was a couple of years ago, Tim O'Reilly is the president of O'Reilly Books, you know, the company that makes all those great technical books with all the animals on the cover. He is a technical person. Well, okay, so that was the wonders of call waiting when you're on speakerphone.
What the hell is going on?
Hey, man, you know, what can I say?
I'm out in freaking Egypt, and you're cutting me off. This gives me a good opportunity. You know, I said I like this workaround for XP registration numbers.
Yeah.
And here's why I like it. You know, I just got through talking about paying for software. You know, I do pay for software, but I do like these workarounds because maybe it'll teach Microsoft that that's a bunch of crap. The people don't like to have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. If you buy something, it's yours. You should be able to use it. You shouldn't, on any computer you want, without going to Microsoft and telling them, oh, well, I've got a new hardware signature with a new processor. That's totally invasive, and I will never, ever use XP because of that. Okay, thank you, Rex.
Begin rant, end rant. Okay.
That's right, and I forgive you for cutting me off.
Yeah, it wasn't me. Anyway, and I did look that up. It's MS Betas, BETAS.net, msbetas.net. Anyway, so there's another link off of there. As I started to talk about Tim O'Reilly, president of O'Reilly Books. So this was, man, probably about 5 years ago. And he's a technical person, too. He's not just the president. He's also a geek. And so beta or discussion or something with someone about the difference between NT work and server. This was NT4. Anyway, long story made short, out, he figured out a way, and he changed the registry settings, and he changed various things. And he made his installation of NT workstation boot up and even say on the screen NT server. Everywhere it said NT server. If you think about it, that actually makes a lot of sense. Why would Microsoft keep two separate code bases for things? Basically, depending on switches and everything, at runtime, as you're bringing up NT or 2000 or XP now, since it's all based on that same kind of concept of NT, it at loading various modules. And this is nothing new to anyone dealing with Linux and have compiled their own kernel or whatever, but this is doing it dynamically at load time. Well, and he proved the concept at the time. They had their website program, and it would work on a workstation. And Microsoft got all bent out of shape about that. And he said, well, it has to be run as a server product because server is more robust, it's designed for it, whatever. And O'Reilly said, that's a bunch of crap, and I'll prove it to you. So he never released the information. He wasn't looking, to do anything illegal or whatever. He wanted to prove it could be done. He was a hacker. We talked about that last week, folks. I don't know if someone else figured out how to do this as well, but there's also on that msbetas.net, there's a little program that will do it. You run this little executable. I imagine you have to reboot your computer, but it comes up instead of saying NT4 or NT2000 workstation, it comes up and saying server. And it even did with Windows XP, it comes up and saying Whistler, which is a code name, Whistler Server Beta.
Cool. Have you done it?
No, I don't have a non-production box I can do it with. I might do it on my virtual PC, but I'll try that.
That's a sweet hack. I actually have NT4 workstation. I'm going to try that out.
Yeah.
Definitely going to try that out. That is a very sweet hack. Hey, man, we got to talk about the saving Canadian internet radio. I don't know. And you're hosting the show, man. I'm just a dumb caller calling in. So let me know when we can talk about it. I think it's really important.
Okay, know you can't talk about it now. Go ahead and talk about it now. You brought it up. Go for it.
I got you. Go to rantradio.com. Read up the listeners about saving Canadian Internet Radio. They kind of want to do the same thing. They have a board called SOCAN, I believe. I'm going to go there now.
And just FYI, Rant Radio is actually out of Vancouver, B.C.
They're in Canada. That's who is letting us stream. SOCAN's Tariff 22. Basically, they want Canadian Internet radio stations, who, by the way, make no money doing this. In fact, they probably lose money. You know, and Rant Radio, they're not playing big label songs, or big label artists. You know, they're not paying anybody for all this stuff. They're not making any money. They want, SOCAN, Canadian Internet radio stations to register every user, which will never happen, and to pay 25 cents per use, basically 25 cents per user per month. It's taxes because they're doing it to the Canadian government, and that's just...
You're lost for words, Duel.
Totally. I can't believe that. What are they thinking? Okay, you're doing this great service for your community. You know, world for crying out loud. People all around the world are listening to Rant Radio, and they're sending out great music, great shows like Hack of Mine, the Sean Kennedy Show, our show, goddammit. And they want people to give all their information to Rant Radio. They want Rant Radio to lose more money than they probably already are, just so they can make money on this probably soon-to-be mainstream, groundbreaking media being internet radio. And it pisses me off. And I wrote to my congressman about CARP, and I received a response, you know, and I'm trying to do what I can to help Canadian internet radio, especially a great service like Rant Radio, great station like Rant Radio. And all the listeners, I want you to. Sure, they're in Canada, but you know what? It affects us. More what affects us affects them, but still, you know, look what they're doing for us. Look what Sam and Sean are doing for us. We need to help them. Okay.
You know,
I swear too much, did I? Sometimes I just I don't know what I say. Sometimes, you know.
No, goddammit, you didn't swear too much.
I black out and then I think of what I said, you know.
Dude, you forgot to take your Ritalin this morning.
I did, man. I did. I haven't slept very long. It's like and it's weird. It's like, you know, sleep deprivation is kind of cool. I mean, because it's sometimes like you think you see stuff moving, you know, in the peripheries, you know. And other times it's like you're really intelligent. You can speak very clearly and fluid, you know, fluidly. And at other times you're just like brain dead. Like during the show, it's like a sine wave. I've just had like cycles. It's very odd. So sleep deprivation, check it out.
I could tell you stories about college when we were, you know, working and doing our major project and programming, and I lived 40 miles away from the college and driving there, and we're doing, you know, I'm in a suit because they're videotaping and everything, right?
I'm all over that.
Doing the final presentation. I'm driving up there to school, and you know, I'm going tired, man. We've been programming, you know, like the lab. You're going to school all day, right? So you're programming at night. I'm driving, you know, it's like an hour drive there, an hour drive back. And I'm going there, and I'm driving. I'm in the suit and everything, you know, because this was the day, man. We're doing the presentation, so we were up like two, everybody in the team. And so I'm starting to drive, right? And I see people jump out from bushes. Well, there was no bushes, and there was no people. And then, so what do I start to do? This, you know, it was kind of cool. It was like May or whatever, you know, cool weather-wise. And so, like, I do all the tricks, right? I roll down the window. I crank up the radio. You know,
I like myself in the face. You know, that's so cliche. That's so movies. I smack myself in the face a little bit, you know?
But, you know, so you're doing all this to stay awake, right? So I start talking to myself. And I'm going blah, blah, blah. And I go, and I realize I'm not even listening. And I heard myself say, look at that. He's not even listening to himself. Then I got really scared.
That's right. That's a schizophrenia sets in.
Yeah, so I made it through. Never did coffee. I was never a coffee addict, but I got to tell you, listeners out there, here's another word from our sponsor, 180. 180 is awesome.
Is that, you've talked about this before.
I've talked about 180 is great.
You know, I'm going to have to do an intervention rack.
Yeah.
An intervention rack off the Ephedra liquid.
180 is awesome. It doesn't taste like crap like Red Bull.
You're on it right now, aren't you?
No, I'm just high on life right now. But I tell you, man, I have like two of those and I start getting the shakes, so it's really wild.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to drink 180, drink responsibly.
Yes, that's sure. Make sure you hack all night long. You know, make sure you're hacking or freaking all night long.
Well, it'll... It'll make you do that, man. I mean, I did that before. I drank that stuff like too late one time, and I was laying in bed tweaking till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you're like wasting all your time laying in bed awake, you know?
Yeah.
You go hack.
Yeah.
Do something.
Well, I want to talk about a couple of phone project ideas I came up with, and this was what?
Hold the phone.
Hey, I'm the host. I can hang up on you again.
I knew it. Hold the phone, pun intended. You are going to talk about phone projects?
Ah.
Holy moly. Okay, lay it on me.
Okay, well, here's a couple of things. I thought about this going to the 2600 meeting last time. I knew Duel there because he was off on this yacht named Assignment. I mean, oops, he was off working really hard.
I'm in the crew. No, I don't want the margarita yet.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rex, go ahead.
Okay, anyway, so, you know, I had my cell phone there, and I said, well, shoot, you know, this would be kind of cool. And I pulled out, you know, I've got various little audio cables and that for the PC. Well, I've got this adapter to go from the teeny tiny connector on my cell phone to a standard size, whatever, 1/8-inch jack on for audio.
2.5 millimeter to 3.5 millimeter.
2.5 to 3.5. Okay, cool. So you know, I plugged in, I played with it just a little. Didn't have enough time before the meeting, but I come to realize that my headset for my cell phone has four wires. Basically, it has four circles on it. So there's a pair for the speaker and a pair of microphone.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get another one of these jacks, cut it, you know, splice it down and everything. And I came up with the idea of using laptop for, like, a phone. So we were going to put Duel on, like, a speakerphone through my laptop. Plus, you'd be able to record it.
That is a freaking cool idea.
You know, so now there have been other things. Like, I had the bigger Nokia before, like the 5100. I had the 6100 series. And someone makes a battery that, not only being a battery, it turns it into a speakerphone. You know, so obviously you need a little amplifier in that for that. Oh, speaking of which, I'll tell you something cool I just ordered off of ThinkGeek. But anyway, so I'm going to play with that. And then I got thinking about, why not do kind of thing for a telephone? Because, I mean, you can obviously pipe the thing. I mean, we're using speakerphone right now. You can obviously, you know, pipe that thing out to an amplifier and to other things. Look at, see if we can figure out a way to take and pipe that in. So, like, right now, what I have on my desk, and by the way, my desk is a lot cleaner and a lot more stable than Duel's is, so it won't fall apart.
I miss my desk.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little later if those things come up. But I got to tell you what I ordered. And this is for H2K2. I ordered this Duel. I saw it online. I thought it was really cool, and I had to get it. And so it's ordered. I should have it here next week. Two things. First of all, the sound bug. The sound bug is, Duel?
Yeah, I think I do. Tell the listeners.
It's a basically, it's like this little suction cup thing. You place a speaker. You attach the sound bug to a flat surface, like a desk, a window, or something, and it basically turns that entire surface into a speaker. So I ordered a pair of these for stereo, and I'm figuring when we're up at H2K2, you know, for jamming out some tunes and stuff, you know, I'll just stick that onto a wall or a desk or a table or something, I'll have tunes. And then I also ordered, they had this little $18, that was like $75 for the pair, and then there was like this $18 little amplifier. You know, I'm thinking about it. Even, like, the audio out of my laptop is pretty low, you know, so I figure it's this little battery-powered amplifier that could be fun for things.
That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be really cool. Have you actually heard a soundbug yet?
No, I just saw it.
Me neither. I'd like to hear it. I'd really like to hear it. You have the ability to return it, right?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Okay, and I bet the Surface probably has a lot to do with it, too. Like, if you're hooking it up to particle board or versus, you know, like my lab table, a big, you know, plastic slab, I bet that has something to do with it, too. But that sounds really cool. I like the phone project, but
well,
I'm proud of you, Rax.
No, thanks. And speaking of phones, and we'll be sharing this with the listeners, too, if I end up getting them. Without talking about the sources and everything there. Anyway, I'm working on getting a hold of the Nokia 9290 communicator, which is USGS. I had one in my hand, man. It's pretty cool. It's an awesome screen, 640 by 200 screen. A little bit big. I've got the little 8290 one now. So it's everyone calls it the Barbie phone. But that and the new Handspring Trio 270, which is a Palm Pilot with a color screen. So I'm trying to get a hold of the two of those so I can play with them and see which one I like better. And certainly I will share the results with all of our good listeners out there.
That Nokia is so tight.
It is awesome, man.
I want that so bad. Actors and Rack, I'm going to be hopefully picking up Linux PDA, and darn it, I can't remember the name of the website. I'll try to put it up if I can, but there's a new Linux PDA out, and I think it's like $150, $150. And it's got 8 megs. I don't know what's running. I feel remiss for even mentioning it, but I'm going to try to get it, and I'll review it, hopefully for the next show, or the show after, by the next meeting, or H2K2.
Well, you know, I'm figuring it'd be pretty cool to be styling on H2K2 with those, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You got your Nokia 9290, and I got my Linux PDA. I know there's lots of Linux PDAs, but this is, like, the latest. It's supposed to be really tight. How much does your 90 cost?
It is, I've already got service with VoiceStream, so it's a little bit more if you don't. It's like $5.99 or $6.99.
That's what I'm figuring out. I'm figuring out 5 or up.
And the Trio is like $4.99.
I thought that would be less, actually.
So it's pretty priced still.
Now, doesn't Samsung make a phone that runs Palm OS?
Kyocera, or who was it? Qualcomm started, and I think they sold it to Kyocera.
Okay, all right. I thought Samsung made a phone that ran Palm OS. Oh, well.
They may do as well. Also, Palm OS 5 went gold this week.
What does that mean, gold? What gold?
Gold means no more feature sets. It's released to manufacturing. So
I did not know that.
They expect to have devices by the end of the week. And there was like a Neverwinter Nights, which is basically like a multi-user Dungeons and Dragons for the internet, went gold too. But
dude, that freaking rocks. I just checked that out. I'm flipping through some gaming magazine, you know, dying for something to read. And that looks so cool. I mean, the coding that went into that to make this drag and drop, build your own dungeon. Dude, tell me, straight up. Are you a D&D geek?
Well, I was thinking about that, to talk about if I should talk about that on the show or not. But here's a story. When
nobody wants to hear about it. I just want to know. Admit it. I'm
no.
Honest. I'll admit it. You're fine.
No, I'm
the dice. I had the little lead fingers.
I'm not. But here's the deal. When I was in high school, D&D came out. Again, I know I'm dating myself here, but and there was this one kid, and believe it or not, I think his name was Hector, and he was like in the math club, right?
Awesome.
So he got it, and I was like 14 or 15 or something. He got it. He was a couple years older, but his mom wouldn't let him lend the to anybody.
No.
So and I went to like one D&D party, you know, game, and like it's really a drag, and I can still relate to it, you know, when you have to get like your mom, your dad to drive you out to this thing. And it was like over the next town over, they didn't want to do it. So anyway, fast forward a few years to where I'm living now. For a while, I played with some friends of mine. It was a D&D-like one. It was called Harn, H-A-R-N.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, so I was actually thinking of getting back in touch with them and see if they want to do this online. But so you had the little I ended up buying my own set of dice, but I didn't have the little lead figurines and everything.
Dude, I painted them.
Oh, man, you're such a loser. Oh, you were 12. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's all right when you're 12. Maybe even younger.
Okay. Well, anyway. So, all right, you gonna get a copy then? You want to play that? We gotta play that online, man.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've heard it's very addictive. We'll see. I actually haven't had much time to play games lately. I'm kind of down. I mean, I'd love to even just play a nice quick Quake, you know, but I just haven't had the time.
Yeah, it's like June 18th, I think, is when it's coming out. You can find out about it online. There was a link off of Slashdot today. But, yeah, so I was thinking of picking that up. What else are we going to say with that? Oh, yeah, you know, I get bored with computer games after a while. I've had Half-Life and did Counter-Strike and everything, and I've got Quake Arena. I don't think I've played it but like two or three times. But actually, it was kind of interesting, too, speaking of, I wonder if any of the other listeners thought about this, too, but there's a one scene in Star Wars where some of the characters are in, like, this arena, and there's these big old monsters coming out after them. Well, one of them kind of looked like the monster in the pit in the bottom of Half-Life at single-user mode. It had these big old green anyway, I just thought about that. But, you know, I was watching the movie, it looked a lot like that.
That's a good video game reference there, Rex. I never played Half-Life, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Half-Life was good. I mean, you know, I played Wolfenstein when that came out, and that was, gosh, what was that?
Yeah, dude, I loved it. I was playing that on my 46, you know. I loved Wolfenstein, and then, of course, Doom.
Yeah, well, you know, I won't get into this, but anyway, with another actual broadcast radio show that I used to be involved with, I actually got to interview, there was John Carmack and John, there was like two or three people named John there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I got to interview him on the radio. I think I still have the tape of that somewhere.
Were they very personable?
I can't remember. That's like 10 years ago, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they probably weren't like God's fattest man.
No.
Like the one dude, I think it's John Carmack, he's got like his own personal rocket company or something. Like they're trying to build a rocket going out of space.
Yeah, well,
they want to go to space.
They say you can do that. Believe it or not, I heard this a few years ago, but
uh-huh.
You know, and this was like maybe even six, seven years ago. They figured like for $10 million, you could build a rocket to go into space. Basically, propane tanks now are built more robust than the booster rockets were on the original Apollo moon missions. They're built to a higher spec.
Yeah, still sounds really safe. Yeah.
Yeah, you ride a propane tank up. Yeah, but anyway.
You could barbecue on the way up.
Yeah.
Did we mention H2K2? Yeah, bringing our cool shit to H2K2.
Yeah. I gotta tell you this before we get into that. And I was surprised. I just brought this. It was just for my regular thing when I went to DEF CON last year. I had my Palm 5 and my folding keyboard. And I'm sitting there taking notes of some of the various sessions, and people are like, you know, looking over my shoulder and everything else, and I thought it was pretty cool. It actually was cool because I bought it on eBay, and it was like one of 100 of them made, and instead of just the normal silver, it was purple. It was anodized purple, and they made them for salespeople. So I got a hold of one of those on eBay.
Very cool.
So I don't know if it was just because it was the color purple or because of the other thing. But anyway, that got a lot of attention.
Are you bringing your laptop? Are you going to bring your laptop? I don't think I'm going to bring mine.
Oh, dude, man, I'm bringing my laptop, my digital camera, and my TV camcorder.
I just don't know if I want to lug it around. I mean, sure, I can get on the network. I mean, I don't know if I can do anything. I mean,
well, they had DEF CON had a wireless. I'm sure they'll have a wireless. Matter of fact, I volunteered 3 times. I never heard anything back from them to help do some of the network setup for H2K2.
Right.
I gotta still try to get in touch with them about that, but you know they're gonna have actually came up with a neat idea for a project, because sometimes you're sitting at the back of those things so far, and they're using a PowerPoint or PowerPoint-like kind of presentation, right? And you're sitting at the back, you can't see shit. So I came up with an idea to take NC, right? You could probably even take it from the code since the code is GPL, but basically make it to broadcast this presentation, whatever's going on the main screen, have that go out, wire people, the participants in the room, so you could sit there with the laptop and watch the presentation.
That's a great idea. You'd be like a proxy, basically. That is an awesome idea.
You can hear okay, but you can't see. I mean, you'd have to do something that doesn't have a lot of updates, obviously. And there are products like that, like NetOps School, I know, has various things, but I think that would be awesome for these kind of things, you know. So if there's any coders out there, you know, I haven't touched code in a while, and I don't really do C, but I'd be happy to work on that kind of as a project. I thought that'd be a cool idea.
That'd be very cool, and then it would make bringing a laptop more attractive. What is not attractive, though, apparently, is the Hotel Pennsylvania. Of course, being out and about, I have to do stuff to kill some time sometimes, and I read these crappy big media newspapers, and I guess there's a syndicated columnist named Dave Barry who wrote a little article about the Hotel Pennsylvania and his opinions of the hotel.
Now hang on right there. Now, isn't Dave Barry, he's a comedian, right?
He looks like a comedian.
Yeah, I mean, I think of him like in the same kind of thing like Garrison Keillor, you know, he's some kind of dude like that.
Alright, well, he looks like a comedian if that tells you anything. First, let me read a couple of choice quotes here. Let's see. The walls, the ceiling, and floor appear to be made of compressed grime.
Nice.
Let's see. A sign that said new furniture had been ordered for the room, but it had not yet arrived. The sign appeared to be several years old. Oh, that was brought about because the mattresses felt like they were stuffed with dead squid. Great. I can't wait to go. Oh. Can't wait to go. I don't know. Maybe I'm just gone in years. I want to stay in nice places now. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
Stay in nice hotels.
Dude, go to hotelpenn.com. You click on the thing. I mean, it's across from Madison Square Garden, but hotelpenn.com, it doesn't look that bad.
All right.
I think, you know...
It's not like I'm going to be sleeping that much anyway. It's going to be freaking hacking and freaking and adventures and partying all night long anyway, so...
Yeah, but, just, you know, dude, so you got to bring your laptop, man. You got to bring the toys.
Maybe I will. I'm going to be putting, hopefully, 3BSD on that soon, so...
I'm loaded for bear, like I said. Yeah, I even volunteered to... Yeah, I'm using my...
Redneck fan, bro.
Yeah, thanks, man. Bringing my deep camcorder, my digital camera, and my laptop.
Now, see, I'm thinking the other way. I'm thinking of bringing all my radio gear. I'm thinking of bring my RF, my FRS, my scanner, my ham rig, a bunch of freak stuff. You know, I'm thinking about going the other way. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I'm just having scenes flash forward to... security at you know, leaving New York with all these freaks and geeks out there with all this gear, you know. Damn phone. God, you gotta hate phones. Okay, we're gonna try this again. I don't know how we lost dual. Thought I dialed 470 to disable calling, but
that was bad.
And if you ever talk about bringing that crap again, I'm gonna hang up on you again, man.
What are you talking about? You hung up on me.
No, man, I didn't hear the call. I thought I disabled it.
I heard the beep, and then I heard the beep, but was disconnected. And I tried to call you back, and I got a busy signal. So I'm assuming it's person at work. I don't know. But you know what? I called your cell, too, and I get this a lot with your cell. I get a different, the first thing is different.
Oh, yeah.
It's more, how do I put it? It's like staticky and muted. The first ring, and then the next goes to the regular ring. It's really odd. It's really strange. I like to record that sometime, actually.
Yeah, I've known calling up with the voice stream phones. But anyway, we should probably wrap it up tonight. Hey, Duel, should we, for anyone going to H2K2, should we tell the listeners a little giveaway thing that we came up with?
Yeah, you know, we were going to do shirts, but I don't want to wear a t-shirt, you know, with Old School Freak on. You know, I'm just going to be myself. My cell's ringing out. I'm just going to be myself. Oh God!
Nice.
To me. So I'm not planning on doing shirts, but I would definitely like to do like some stickers, some bumper stickers, just to hand out to people, just to get out, you know, and do what you want. So, and then maybe put them up on the site, and you know, put up the postage, or you know, a little more like a block. I'll mail you a sticker. I definitely want to do the stickers. I think they're totally cool. And what kind of stickers though? Like oldschoolfreak.com or?
Here's what I was thinking. You have it say Radio Freak America, and then like the slogan line or whatever we have on Rant Radio: knowledge, freedom, technology, freaking, or whatever.
Technology, privacy, freedom, knowledge.
There you go. And then have www.oldschool.com on the bottom.
Perfect. That'd be perfect. Yeah. So we're definitely going to have those stickers. And we're going to be passing them out like candy. So find us. Look for the stickers. Check us out. Maybe I'll slap them on my back. And say hi to us, man. Because I can't wait to meet all the people that I've had contact with. You know, all the great people that listen to the show and that link us. You know, thanks everybody for hanging with us, you know. This is just the beginning.
We'll call it a show for this week. I've got a choice selection from Alpha Team here, a little Speed Racer, a little anime kind of theme music, updated techno for you.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Rax saying, keep knowledge free, Duel.
Duel saying, Rax, you are an adept host. Thank you. And wherever you are, be the media.
Later.
Here comes Speed Racer. Scotland.